Yeah, I'm running way over.
All right. Over what you did?
Time.
No, that's fine. When the tape ended, we were talking about dormitories, and you were indicating that you made a mock-up.
We built a set of rooms, one room with a bathroom, or two rooms when it was accommodation. And then the students could come, walk in, look at it. The student committees, mm-hmm. you know, they'd appoint a committee. That, we had that kind of planning in the 60s. When we start making some major changes in the dormitory layout.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
I personally had a briefcase for each day of the week.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about that.
Well, rather than have a secretary go through the file and find what I needed for the meeting of the day at noon, I had a briefcase marked for Monday. The meetings that were on Monday had paperwork in that briefcase. And same for the rest of the week. So between meetings, if I had time, I'd stop in. If I had different meetings in the afternoon, well, some of them were labeled by project, too. Mm-hmm. Like if we were meeting on our dormitory project in the morning, and let's say Erickson Hall, which was under construction, meeting there in the afternoon with the contractors and architects, I had a briefcase for that. I'd stop, pick that up. We had a lot of noon meetings, especially when we were building dormitories. The man in charge, Emory Foster, was pretty generous. He knew that if he offered a good lunch, everybody would show up.
Here's a free
but
lunch.
They were not social meetings. The luncheon meeting, you eat
meeting.
And get your business done, you'd be on the way in mm-hmm. hour or so. Mm-hmm.
Did you have a secretary that stayed with you a long time, or did you have a whole variety of them?
No. Paperwork that went with the construction projects was done by the architects and their staff. Mm-hmm. The architect representative would be there, attend a meeting, we'd discuss the problem, and as a rule, arrive at a solution. He'd make notes if it required a change order, if it generated a change in cost, then he'd dictate the change order, sometimes on the way back to Detroit or wherever he came from. Put it in a recorder, it would be typed up, be in the mail the next day to the contractor, get a price on it. Mm-hmm. Meantime, we had enough authority, especially Foster and I, if it wasn't major, involved hundreds of thousands, we'd authorize it same day. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and get it done, tell the contractor. Mm-hmm. Send in your estimate. We'd have a kind of a verbal agreement on the amount of money that this should take. And we had a nice relationship with people. They didn't gouge us.
Mm-hmm. Were there any construction companies that did a lot of the dormitories or that you worked with extensively?
Chrisman Company did
Chrisman?
A lot, and Reniger did some.
Were they both local?
Yes.
In Lansing? Mm-hmm.
I think Utley did one or two, and they were out of Detroit. The work was mostly done by local contractors. Mm-hmm. Now and then a Detroit contractor would be successful in bidding.
Mm-hmm. How would you say that your job changed over time? Did it become more complex, or...?
Well, it became a position of remote control. Rather than my personally attending the meeting, I had a few staff people that would attend these daily meetings on the sites. Mm-hmm. To start with, I was it. And it took a few years before I had very capable people on board. I had a fellow by the name of Henry Dunkelberg, who was a year or two older than I was. He graduated before I did, but he was an excellent construction man. He worked for local contractors. In fact, he was job superintendent at Kellogg Center. Mm-hmm. He came with us as one of our field engineers. Very valuable man to me.
Was he a MSU grad?
Pardon?
Michigan State grad, was he?
Yes.
Okay.
Took a lot of load off of my shoulders. My activity changed a lot from kind of instead of being a quarterback running each play, I was more of a general manager. And I'd visit the jobs, but not to attend a detailed meeting.
Did you have direct contact with the board? Board trustees at all, or did you have
not
to make presentations?
Not very often.
Okay.
It would be one-on-one on the side, more than a formal mm-hmm. presentation.
Mm-hmm. Were there any
sometimes a board member would single me out or call me and
okay.
have a question.
Yeah. Were there any board members that took a particular interest in the physical buildings of the university, or were there any that stood out as being particularly supportive?
I can't think of the name right now. Guy was active.
I know there have been a lot of board members that you've
yes,
seen.
Yes, there were a lot of them. Uh-huh. We had F. Mueller from Grand Rapids, who I think had owned some furniture manufacturing companies. I'm not sure now that mm-hmm. if when I go into this, I really don't want to be quoted. But there were board members that took a keen interest because the construction was somewhat related to the business they were in.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Some took more interest than others.
Mm-hmm. Okay. In your own approach to work and work ethic that you had, were there any guiding principles that you had in terms of university work or anything like that guided you? Organization, obviously, you've mentioned already.
Very simple. Be fair, firm, and honest. Face the issue. If you got a problem, get it settled, resolved, correct it. Quicker the better. Don't let it fester. Not everything was happy-go-lucky, I tell you. There were problems.
Yeah. In looking back at your career, what was the main reason you were interested in, or that you ultimately retired in, what was it, 80? When did you retire?
1984.
In 84. Were there any main reasons that came along? Was it the university?
Age
policy?
And I was tired.
Age and you retired.
I did some consulting around the country. The last year or two that I was active here, I didn't have time before, but the University of California wanted me to come out to their campus at San Diego. No, it was not that one, another one just north of there. I had announced my retirement. They wanted me to come out for 2 years. They would have moved me and on. Mm-hmm. I said, I can't do it. And the vice president, who I knew personally, said, oh, what's the problem? Why not? We'd like to have you. Share your experience with us. And I said, I'm tired. I need a break. And I don't think I can face another 2 years of making major changes in the organization. I'm just mm-hmm. tired. I want out. Mm-hmm. I was past 65 at the mm-hmm. point.
In looking back at your career at Michigan State, which obviously was a very long one, and including the time you were a student, is there anything that stands out? You mentioned the fact that you, when you came, did you think you'd be here almost your whole career?
Well, the thing that stood out here, the same at General Motors, dynamic organization. They were organizations that wanted to get the job done. It was not a matter of putting in time and stalling. And when I got here on this campus, I soon found that the driving force here, the president and the principal people involved, were here to get a job done. And while political considerations were important, that was not the governing guideline. The governing guideline was get it done. Ask questions later. I enjoyed that. I like to get things done. There's great satisfaction in having a day in where you can feel that you accomplished something, rather than having engaged a verbal battle which ended up in nothing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what bound me here. Within a year, I was satisfied that this was the place. There was a time when the political heat got to be pretty strong in the 60s when I thought of leaving.
Were there any other, since your retirement, have you had other contacts with the university or things that you've done?
Here?
Yes.
Nothing significant. When I retired, my mind was made up that that was the end. I didn't want an office. Mm-hmm. So you can have an office and a little secretarial service for free if you want to. I didn't want that. I wanted to cut loose. My thinking was when I came here, they gave me freedom to do what I thought was right. Mr. Kinney, who I reported to, called me in after a year or two. He said, the more decisions you make on your own, the better I'll like it. Now, isn't that a wonderful opportunity that the man presented? So I could make decisions, profit from my mistakes if I made one. Mm-hmm. And now that was crucial to me. I'm an independent man. Person, I should say. Some call me stubborn, but so be it. But I don't think I am. But
is there any legacy as someone drives around the campus that maybe you'd like them to remember you and your experience that you think?
Well, I had a visitor here from Hamilton, Ontario, in charge of a small campus, and I picked him up at the airport, and we came in the Abbott Road entrance past the Union Building. We drove around Circle Drive, and we came as far as the Music Building. He said, please stop. I said, okay. He looked around, he said he had seen those beautiful dormitories, you know, Gothic, slate roofs. Got to the Music Building, a beautiful building that stood out, not overwhelmingly big. The high-rise building, the 6 or 8 story building, wasn't there yet. He said, you know, my trip has been worthwhile to come to this campus. And he hadn't been here only a minute or two. It's been worthwhile. He said, what a great combination of layout and materials put together to form this facility. He said, it's wonderful. Seldom see it. It's coordinated. The exteriors aren't identical, but they're compatible. The layout is open. And he went on. Now, he had planning experience and background of its own, but having someone make those comments, which kind of reflect the work of a group of us, not one individual, and having been part of that team, that's great, and I hope that the general atmosphere that has been created is not going to be destroyed by overcrowding and building in too much. I personally believe that there's a limit as to how big you make a campus. You can get so big that you destroy that intimate contact. So I hope that this team that put together the combination of facilities back in the 50s and 60s will be remembered for having created something pleasant. Durable, not slapped together. We wouldn't permit sheet metal siding, even though it would have been cheaper. Mm-hmm. You could paint it and make it look pretty good, but temporary.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, I want to thank you on behalf of the project, and I appreciated your insights, and especially the time that you've taken to share them.
Okay.
Thank you very much.